Christian Crusaders extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
How did you like the sermon? Many families have discussed that question around the Sunday dinner table, and we're going to discuss it in this program today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we pray that you will raise up faithful men and women to proclaim the Word of God. Grant, O Lord, that we may observe some of the great teachings of our Savior, also in how to proclaim the word. Grant that we may be given the grace to preach that law until it brings us to a conviction of our sins and to repentance. But then, O God, give us the grace to proclaim that gospel in such a way that all who truly repent and trust you may taste of that gracious forgiveness that comes by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. As it is recorded in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning with verse 20. Looking at his disciples, Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. And blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil, because the Son of Man comes. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their fathers treated the prophet. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for someday you'll go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, how did you like the sermon? That's a very common subject around many dinner tables on Sunday noon. I remember when I was a kid, one of my friends said to me, "We had roast preacher this noon." Never having heard that term, I said, "Well, what do you mean by that?" And he said, "Well, you know, when the preacher hasn't done too well, they often will criticize the sermon. We call that roast preacher." Well, I guess there's been, through the years, a lot of roast preaching. Now, as a result of all of this, we have to take heart if we're preachers, because Jesus also was roasted, and he was the greatest preacher who ever lived. Jesus hadn't done very much preaching before his followers grew in number, and some of them became his disciples, and 12 of them became his ambassadors. But while the admirers continued to grow, so did his critics, and among them were the Pharisees. Jesus' ministry bothered the Pharisees, who were the defenders of the Jewish faith. For example, there was such a thing as Jesus going into the synagogue on a Sabbath day and healing the man who had a shriveled hand. The Bible said that they were furious about this. He had broken the law. He was healing on the Sabbath day. And they had a great question, what shall we do with him? But then it was also his preaching that really got inside and bothered them tremendously. So let's take a look at a day in the life of Jesus, the preacher. It had been a very difficult night for Jesus. He had been in the mountains praying, asking God for guidance as he selected from his disciples 12 who would be apostles. He had many disciples, but now he was going to have 12 of those people be his apostles. After a night in prayer, he called all of his disciples together, and the Bible doesn't tell us how many. But then he said, I'm going to announce to you the names of those who will carry the message of the gospel to the far parts of the world. These will be the pillars of the church. And then he announced them. They were the early leaders. Now that really took a lot of strength to do that, because you can be sure, though the Bible doesn't talk about it, that there were those right there who turned their back and said, I don't want to have any more to do with him. They wanted to have been one of those apostles. Can't you hear them? Human nature hasn't changed any. Jealousy was there then, as it's here now. And I can hear somebody say, well, you know, I am a man of a great deal of experience. I've got an extrovertish personality. Why did he overlook me and go and take a person like Bartholomew? What did Bartholomew ever do? And what did Thomas ever do? He was the one who doubted him. And then there was probably a mother who was sitting there, and she said, you know, if there's any one characteristic that my son has, it's faithfulness. He would have stood faithfully by Jesus. But he overlooked my son and chose Judas Iscariot. Now, I know that family from which Judas Iscariot came. They were not very good people. How could Jesus ever put one of them in such an elevated position? And then there was probably a man who said, my dear old father had worked hard, but that Matthew was a tax collector, and that man came by and stole from my father. He took exorbitant amounts of money from him in false taxes. And now he is going to be one of the apostles. Well, Jesus was not off to a very good start. You can see that. But then he comes down from the mountain a bit further to the plains. And some have called this the Sermon on the Plains. He began to preach to them. There were two parts to that sermon. Usually, you know, preachers have three parts. Jesus only had two. And the first part was blessing people. He said to those who were his disciples, and I'm sure in a very special way to those who now were the apostles, look, blessed are you who are hungry, because someday you're really going to be fed. Now, it wasn't that Jesus was elevating hunger as something that you should be thankful for, but he was thankful that they would be willing to go through the difficulties of that office to bring that message of Jesus Christ to the world. And hungry they were. And it must have been very, very difficult for them to not only feel starvation themselves, but also feel it in the midst of their family. You're going to grieve. But remember, the day is going to come when those tears will be turned to laughter. It wasn't that Jesus wanted them to be so sorry, but he wanted them to know that even though they were his followers, they were going to have difficult times. Sickness was going to come. Death was going to come. And then there would be that time of socially being ostracized, being hated as they went down the street. Oh, you're one of them, huh? And old friends excluding you. For example, maybe there was a disciple there who had some friends, had had them for years, and now their son was going to have his bar mitzvah, and they so wanted to go to that great event. But they didn't get an invitation because they were Christians, and these Jewish people would have nothing to do with the Christians. They were rejected. Well, Jesus says to them, "Rejoice, you're mine. Great is your reward in heaven." That's the way they treated your fathers, and they're going to treat you that way. It was a message of hope. Now, that does not mean that they were going to earn their way into the kingdom of heaven. No. That was given to them by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. But when they became his disciples, they wanted to give him their all. And the results were that they would suffer. But the day was going to come when that suffering would be over, and they would live with God forever in the kingdom of heaven. Rejoice. Now, part two was a little bit harder. In fact, Jesus was very specific, and instead of saying, "Blessed are you," he was saying, "Woe unto you. Woe unto you who are rich." And it wasn't that he was opposed to rich people. He had many friends who were rich. But it was the fact that they didn't care about all of those who needed some help for the necessities of life, and they didn't care about that. All they wanted was to get richer and richer and richer. And Jesus says, "Woe unto you. You live comfortably now, but the day is going to come when you'll know what it is to be poor." And then he said, "You're laughing now. Well, woe unto you." Was Jesus opposed to laughter? Of course not. He enjoyed laughing. He was a sociable individual. But all they thought of in life was a great big party. What can appease my emotions? What can make me happier? Is it the Las Vegas of their day that's going to do it? Well, go right on laughing, he said. But the time is going to come. The time is going to come when your laughter will turn to tears. Your popularity. It's not wrong to be well thought of by people. But you know how you got your popularity, he said to them. Woe unto you, for you had no convictions. You could adjust your morals. You could adjust the truth. You could adjust all sides of your life. And you became popular. Woe unto you. You see what that was, friend? If the first part of the sermon was a message of hope, this one was a message of repentance. Come, see the error of your way, and trust me, and turn to me. Well, you can be sure when he got done preaching that sermon, there was one of those old Pharisees who said to the other one, "What did you think of the sermon?" And the Bible tells us what they thought of it. They were furious, and they began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. You see, the basis for their criticism was this. Theirs was a law religion. And if you did not abide by that law to the nth degree, all those ceremonial laws, like healing a person on the Sabbath day, you were going to pay a dear price, and they would get you in the end. That was their criterion. Only one. Keep the law. And when they felt that Jesus broke the law, they were ready to put him in the right place. Now let's let the calendar go ahead for 2,000 years and see how that question is being asked today. What did you think of the sermon? It's been an interesting Sunday morning. The preacher has delivered his sermon, and the benediction has been pronounced. And now the faithful group of eight have gathered at the restaurant for their brunch. Hardly had they sat down long before the waitress came to get the order. And one of them asked, "Well, how did you like the sermon?" And somebody answered, "Well, it was a little long." It seems to me that you ought to be able to say it in 20 minutes. I don't like it when they have only these 5 and 10 minute sermonettes either. But 25, 30, 35 minutes? Can't they get it said in 20? What's the matter with our seminaries? Well, as he was elaborating on the length, he had plenty of time to sit there and drink coffee, but the length of that sermon was irritating to him. He said, somebody said, well, you know, he's new, and he's going to get used to us. He's smart enough to know that he's going to find out what we want him to say. And that's what he'll say. And he'll stay away from those topics that irritate the congregation. The most important thing for a minister is to be able to get along with his people and not to irritate them. Well, about that time, somebody says, you know, a little humor in the sermon would help out a little bit too. And finally, somebody said, oh, let's change the subject. Who are you betting on to win the football game this afternoon? And right away, somebody hollers out, the Packers, of course. Nobody can be far when it's 0 degrees out in Green Bay and it's snowing hard. Those southern teams wilt like a poinsettia wilts 3 months after Christmas. No, that's... Then somebody said, say, talking about sports, do you know whether or not the preacher likes athletics? It would certainly help him, give him some color in his sermon, if you'd bring some of that in, because most of us like to hear a little bit about the athletic world. And somebody would say, well, I'm not so interested in the athletic world, but, you know, I hope he doesn't bring any politics in. You know, the trouble with some of these preachers is they go away for some of these seminars and listen to some of these so-called big shots, and when they come home, they all sound like a bunch of do-goodies. And they tell us how we got to take care of the poor, and we've got to go after those who don't have what they need for an ordinary life, and it just tries to cause us some more grief. No, get rid of that. And somebody says, well, I don't like the idea when they get too fundamentalistic, you know, and they talked about the saved and the unsaved. I think there are a lot of ways to heaven. And my daughter-in-law's parents, for example, are not Christian people, but they're good people, and they're going to go to heaven because they're good people. Well, finally, the discussion is over, and they get ready to go, and somebody said, now, what was it that the preacher said? And the waitress said, I was there at the early service. It was a great sermon. I heard him say, Jesus loves you. Jesus walks with you. Jesus will strengthen you. Jesus will comfort you. I'll be back next Sunday for more. They might not have heard much from the preacher, but they got it from the waitress. Can you go on and discuss the sermon? Of course you can. But have the right criteria. What is a sermon supposed to say? It's supposed to lift up Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Talk about that. And it's good to discuss the sermon, for you will be drawn closer to Jesus, and he'll love you all the more. Amen.
Father waits over the way to be back.
Father, we pray that wherever your word has been proclaimed this day, it might have brought the message of your word from the Holy Scriptures. And then, O Lord, we pray that we might really examine that sermon, not to be critical, but only to find out what it really was you wanted to tell us there. Holy Spirit, work through that word. Bring us to repentance and bring us to faith. In Christ's name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. We pray that the message and music in today's service have brightened your day and brought you comfort and peace. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit radio ministry. We thank each of you for your continued financial support. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of our ministry. Currently, half of what we spend annually for radio airtime is from estate gifts. Please consider final gifts to your favorite ministries as part of your estate planning. We thank each of you for your gifts and your prayers. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website address is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our web address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the last 42 years.